أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respected viewers, assalamu alaikum and welcome to this week's show where we'll be talking about peer pressure and the psychological effect on the well-being of women. Now, living in a society whose morals and ethics are not conducive to an Islamic way of life, we find that it is a constant jihad to remain on the sirat. Peer pressure is the desire to conform with your contemporaries, and as a result, you may engage in activities that under normal circumstances you wouldn't. So for example, high school smoking is quite rife in this part of the world. As a result, I believe that women are more susceptible to peer pressure than our male counterparts, because in our innate nature we like the sense of belonging and we overthink things. We're already at the conclusion of an argument before we've even introduced it. With recent technological advancements, we find that on the internet you will find that there are groups that encourage suicide pacts, there are pro-ana websites that encourage anorexia, and they form little groups of people that encourage one another to do things that necessarily aren't normal. And as a result of that, I feel that it is our responsibility to raise children, as well as ourselves, be of strong character and, you know, a firm disposition. Why? Because there is a saying of Imam Ali that says that I hasten to mold you while you are young, because the heart is an uncultivated land and it will accept whatever is strewn upon it. And so with me today to discuss the subject of peer pressure is my first guest. Her name is Rend Abid. She's a youth worker and a mentee. She's trying to help people from disadvantaged backgrounds by giving them a platform where they can be taken seriously and where they can learn transferable skills. She's also studying psychology and is currently doing a dissertation on behavioral economics and how personality can affect advertising. My second guest is Sakina Chandu. She's a qualified optometrist and has worked in the healthcare field. She's a mother of three and an active member of her community, where she focuses on mothers and children. So, assalamu alaikum and welcome to this week's show. So, if I could start with you, Rend, what is peer pressure?
Well, peer pressure is basically the tendency of young people to get influenced. And it is a natural phenomenon. So, everybody is under some kind of influence from other people, mm-hmm. because we are inherently social creatures. So no one is exempt from peer pressure. Everybody conforms to some kind of peer pressure, whether unconsciously or consciously. So what we refer to as peer pressure is just influence from other people. Mm-hmm. And according to the psychology of influence, each one of us has some forces that act on them. So until a certain age, the parents are the major social influences on a child. And then once the child joins school, it learns from people with him in school or with her in school, certain things, certain behaviors. That's a form of learning. So peer pressure itself, in the definition, is not bad, even though we attach negative meanings to it.
So we say peer pressure, and mm-hmm. peer is like your contemporaries, but actually I assume then that it is not exclusive to your friend circle, and that we learn from examples, so role models. So, Sakina, from your experiences, you are a mother of three. When your children were younger, and I guess outside of Montessori and play school, did they then mimic you in any ways? And did they necessarily pick up just good traits, or did they pick up negative traits as well?
Yes, I feel as a mother, and from experience, that a mother is actually a children's first role model. So for a young child, they will try and emulate their parents. Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the main influences on a child of a very young age. Mm-hmm. But as they grow, what happens is they tend to, you know, get influenced by their environment, by their peers, you know. And when it comes to peer pressure, I think we can broaden the term to not only the peers of the children, but also to the environment, you know, the society, mm-hmm. media, mm-hmm. and, you know, even the internet and social media and things like that. That all has an influence on the way a person thinks and can actually shape a person's personality and one's behavior. Mm-hmm. But I find with my children, yes, I think, you know, parents are the first role model for a child. And, you know, any habits you see in your children from a very young age, it is possible that they have picked that up from, you know, watching our behaviors as parents. But then that does extend as they get older to their peers and also to media such as television as well.
So the hadith that says that, you know, a mu'min is a mirror of another mu'min, I guess you see that play out in your children at an early age, because anything negative that you see in your children, obviously they've learnt it from the home environment, if they're not, you know, susceptible to like the TV or to to friends at that age. So, Rand, if I could come to you, as women, what are the major aspects that affect us in terms of, you know, is it media more? Is it family? Is it friends?
Well, I would say it goes down back to the individual, because everybody has different things that they value in their lives. So it depends on what you value in your life. I mean, there is nobody who's exempt from wanting to please somebody and beat their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that's innate and it's good. We want to please our parents because we trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents, naturally, they want us to conform to some extent to their ideals maybe, or to their way of life. So parents raise children. But as women especially, I feel there is not much of a difference, to be honest. When you look at the research literature, there's not much of a difference in the susceptibility between men and women. Everybody is susceptible to some influences. So as women, what is really important is that you, I mean, we can't just generalize to everybody. Everyone is unique, but we can just see trends across people.
Mm-hmm.
So the trends across women, for example, is they want to conform to the general stereotypes about being caring, being empathetic, being non-confrontational, because these are the stereotypes.
But what about the feminist movement in the West? I mean, they're all about being equal, and if a guy can do it, then a woman can do it, and then this whole caring comes right out the window, no?
That's true. That's a political movement at the time.
Mm.
Though you see that the influences have kind of gone down now. When you look at literature, for example, I just had a look at the literature regarding organizational psychology yesterday
mm.
in my class. You see that while the female doctors have been rating themselves, I think the study included 237 female doctors, and they had to rate themselves on certain characteristics,
mm-hmm.
and they rated themselves higher on the typically female characteristics, while the male doctors rated themselves higher on the typically male characteristics like assertiveness, arrogance, and things like that, which are not necessarily good, but these are the stereotypes that we are giving forth in media,
mm-hmm.
and we're observing everywhere. So it's funny because it affects the way that people will look in the future. If a woman, for example, can identify herself in the leader,
mm-hmm.
then she's more likely to achieve higher, and she's gonna be more likely to ask for a promotion and things like that. While when the leader is male and she thinks I'm not confrontational, I'm nice, I'm a kind person, and my leader is arrogant, assertive, and selfish.
Mm.
She's not going to identify with that person, so she's going to likely stay in her place or go, maybe leave, drop out. There is a dropout tendency.
So you're saying that both genders are susceptible in exactly the same way.